Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 62 of CJ Evolution. I am Patrick. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. We've got a lot of amazing guests coming up this week. We've had some amazing guests on the show so far. We have more great guest coming. Today I wanted to talk about a Supreme Court case that often gets lost, at least with some of the guys I know, and that is Arizona v. Gantt. Now, what is Arizona v. Gantt? You know, it ties into the Fourth Amendment. Remember, the Fourth Amendment prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures and usually requires an officer to have both probable cause, or PC, and a warrant in order to search a person or her property. There are, though, a number of exceptions to this requirement. One of the times when an officer does not need a warrant to search someone is at the time of a lawful arrest. Typically, in the interest of officer safety and evidence discovery and preservation, the officer can search an arrestee and the area within his immediate or her immediate control without first obtaining a warrant. This case addresses the extent of an officer's power in searching an arrestee's vehicle after he or she has been arrested and placed in the back of a patrol car. So some of the facts of the case of Arizona v. Gantt. This was argued in October of 2008 and was decided in April 2009. So on August 25th, 1999, the police responded to an anonymous tip of drug activity at a particular residence. When they arrived, Rodney Gantt answered the door and identified himself. He informed police that the owner of the house was not home but would return later that evening. When the police left, they checked records and discovered that Gantt had a warrant for his arrest for driving with a suspended license. The officers returned to the home later that evening and arrested two individuals. After both arrestees were handcuffed and placed in the back of police cars, Gantt arrived at the house driving a vehicle. When he stepped out of the car, he was arrested for driving with a suspended license. After Gantt was handcuffed and placed in the back of a third police car, officers searched Gantt's car. They found a gun in the car along with a bag of cocaine in a jacket pocket of the back seat. So Gantt was charged with possession of cocaine. He sought to have the evidence found in his car suppressed at trial because, as he claimed, the search of the car had been unreasonable. The trial court denied Gantt's motion and Gantt was convicted. The state appellate court and the Arizona Supreme Court reversed the trial court's conviction, ruling that the search of Gantt's car was not allowed because it did not promote officer safety or evidence discovery and preservation. Because the search violated Gantt's Fourth Amendment rights, the evidence found in Gantt's car should have been suppressed and not presented at trial, and the state appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. So the issue at hand, it was, does the Fourth Amendment require that police officers, when arresting a recent occupant of a vehicle, demonstrate either a threat to officer safety or a need to preserve evidence related to the crime in order to conduct a search of that particular vehicle without a warrant? And remember, everybody, the Fourth Amendment, very important amendment to law enforcement, obviously, and that states the right of people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. A lot of case law, a lot of precedent related to the Fourth Amendment. Chimmel versus California was one of them. Officers came to Chimmel's home with a warrant for Chimmel arrested for burglary. They did not have a search warrant. After they arrested Chimmel, they asked to search his home, and Chimmel refused, but the officers informed him that they could search his house anyway on the basis of his lawful arrest. The court ruled that an officer could search the area within arrestee's immediate control if the officer's safety was at risk, or the arrestee could destroy evidence relating to his or her arrest. A search of Chimmel's entire home went beyond the area that was within Chimmel's immediate control, and therefore the court ruled in favor of Chimmel. There's other case law, New York versus Belton, 1981, Thornton versus the U.S. in 2004. So there's some arguments for this particular case. Officer safety and evidence preservation are vital government interests. If necessary, police officers should temporarily be able to limit an arrestee's privacy to promote these interests. Due to the unique nature of vehicle searches, Chimmel does not apply because Chimmel involved the search of a home. They were going back to that Chimmel case and saying it doesn't apply to this Gant case. Some arguments for Gant: warrantless vehicle searches are subject to the limitations set out in Chimmel. Therefore, an officer can only search the area with an immediate control of the arrestee in order to promote officer safety or to preserve evidence from being destroyed. In this case, Gant was locked in the police car at the time of the search. The passenger compartment of his car was not within his immediate control, and therefore neither officer safety nor evidence preservation was an issue. So the decision. Justice Stevens delivered the opinion of the court in which Justice Scalia, Souter, Thomas, and Ginsburg joined. Justice Alito wrote a dissenting opinion in which Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kennedy and Breyer joined. So the majority, in a 5-4 decision, the court affirmed the Arizona Supreme Court's ruling. In order for a warrantless vehicle search at the time of an arrest to be constitutional, the arrestee has to be within reach of the passenger compartment, or it has to be reasonable that the search of the vehicle would turn up evidence of the crime for which the person is being arrested for. Gant was handcuffed in the back of a police car with 5 police officers guarding him. Therefore, the court reasoned he was not within reach of the passenger compartment, and officer safety and evidence preservation was not an issue. Furthermore, he was arrested for driving with a suspended license. Therefore, it was not reasonable for the police to believe that the search of Gant's vehicle would turn up evidence related to that charge, just because of the charge. Because neither of these requirements was met, the search in this situation was not constitutional. Finally, the court asserted that they were not violating stare decisis because they were not overriding Belton, a previous case. The interpretation of Belton that the state relied upon was inaccurate. Therefore, the court was not overruling the Belton case, but rather interpreting it properly. There was some dissenting opinions to this case. The dissenting judges argued that Belton was meant to give police officers the power to search a vehicle at the time of arrest, regardless of the arrestee's ability to reach the vehicle. And the court's interpretation of the Belton case, which limits the area of search to the area within the arrestee's reach, in effect overruled precedent. They noted that while the interpretation of Belton may be imperfect, it is precedent that has been followed for 28 years. The burden to overturn precedent is great, and that burden is not met with this particular case. Therefore, the court should follow precedent and rule that because of the search was close in time to the arrest, Gant's Fourth Amendment rights were not violated. That was the dissenting opinion of some of the judges. But remember, this is the law of the land right now, Gant v. Arizona. So I hope this was educational, again, for those officers who might have forgotten this important case. We all are familiar with big, huge cases, and this is a big, huge case. But when Arizona, the great state of Arizona, the first thing that comes to mind is Miranda v. Arizona, which obviously a landmark case too. So hope this was educational, everybody. Again, we have a lot of fantastic guests coming on this upcoming week, so I hope you tune in. Remember, if you head over to iTunes, rate and review my podcast, I sure would appreciate it. Head over to cjevolution.net, and you can find the new website. You can leave me comments there, or you can reach out to me on Twitter, Pat_Fitzgibbons, or hit me up on LinkedIn. I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me a note, and I will reply back to you. So take care, everybody. Watch that football that is happening today, and I will talk with you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.